the mainstream churches, particularly the Orthodox Church especially, it was KGB agents sent into the seminaries. They rose quickly through the ranks and assumed much of the leadership of the churches, but all of the churches were infiltrated or attempted to be infiltrated by the KGB.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. With us is a very important guest. She has some incredible insights into what's going on in America right now and the parallels with what happened in the Soviet Union, especially as it relates to Christianity and the church. She's got an incredibly interesting book. It's called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. Her name is Julie Bailing, and she was a missionary in Russia in the late 90s. She went to graduate school at Florida State University, getting a master's degree in Russian languages and literature, and also Russian East European studies. She's actually taught beginning and intermediate Russian during those years. And she wrote her master thesis on underground Christian movements in the Soviet Union, their survival tactics, and of course, the tactics that the Soviet regime used to squash them. And what really caught my interest about this is that she says the same tactics that the Soviet dictatorship was using are now being used here in America. Julie, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's just get right into it. So you're arguing that the similar things to what happened in the Soviet Union in terms of the government's dealings with the church and with Christianity are now being observed here in America. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. There's three major tactics that I researched in depth for my thesis. And for anyone who knows anything about Soviet history, it's not going to be that big of a surprise. Number one, anti-religious propaganda and pro-communist propaganda, of course, in the schools, in the media, in the arts, and just broadly throughout every strata of society. And then you have the second tactic, and I have to specify, the tactics I studied was from post-World War II up until perestroika. In the early years of the Soviet Union, they disbanded with a tactic because it backfired. And that tactic was broad persecution of all Christians, broad arrests and imprisonment of all clergy, and execution of, you know, many, many clergy. And that bred a lot of underground movements. And so after World War II, post-Stalin, what they did is they gave them more freedom, but they kept the heavy persecution just for the religious fringes, just for a few groups that were operating illegally, that were not registered with the government, because if they registered with the government, they wouldn't have freedom of religion. And these are the people that continued to be arrested. Their meetings were raided. They had their children taken from them to be raised in foster care by the communist government. They suffered lengthy periods of imprisonment in the gulag. And so, yeah, and the groups that I studied for my thesis, and the main groups that received that treatment, were the underground Baptists, Pentecostals, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Seventh-day Adventists. There were break-off groups. So there was one section of Baptists that were going along with the government, and I'm sure most of the people had good intentions. They were registered with the government and considered legal, but the illegal Baptists, they wanted to continue to teach their children to pray, for instance. They wanted to continue to be able to proselytize and do things the way that they felt were the correct way, and not make a deal with the government. These were the ones that were, you know, a Baptist choir director spends 5 years in the gulag just because he's a choir director for the underground Baptists. So again, the religious fringes received that heavy hand all the way basically through the end of the Soviet Union. And then the third tactic is the infiltration of the churches through KGB agents. The mainstream churches, particularly the Orthodox Church especially, it was KGB agents sent into the seminaries. They rose quickly through the ranks and assumed much of the leadership of the churches. But all of the churches were infiltrated or attempted to be infiltrated by the KGB.
Wow, that's terrifying. So talk about some of the parallels that we're seeing in America. You think that the government is kind of stepping up attacks on maybe fringe Christian movements kind of outside of the mainstream. Give us some examples and why that has you so concerned.
Well, the whole thing that got me, so I finished my thesis in 2004, And I had a feeling that there was a purpose for me to write my thesis, so I didn't get rid of my materials. I set them aside. But then in 2008, there was a raid on a very unpopular minority religious organization in America. Tanks, snipers, even though they were not a violent group. And then they had all their kids taken from them and put in foster care with no due process. And again, it's a group that no one likes. It's the FLDS, fundamentalists, Latter-day Saints, or polygamists. And they had their rights infringed in 2008. And when I saw that, I looked more closely and really freaked me out, actually. Another really good example of going a little further back is the Branch Davidians in 1993 with the horrific raid on Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas, and the horrific treatment that they received. Again, David Koresh probably could have been found guilty of statutory rape, but you don't raid a whole group. And then the evidence shows that our government actually basically torched this group and wanted them to die. That is what the evidence shows, more than that they set themselves on fire. That's not much evidence for that. So those are some pretty glaring examples. But we are seeing, you know, things happening more now where we're having the anti-abortion activists getting FBI raids, peaceful, nonviolent, you know, Christians who sing hymns at an abortion clinic getting the treatment now. And I really and truly expect that we'll see a ramping up of again, starting with the more fringy Christians. They don't want to go after the whole body of mainstream Christians, but then again, they have much of the mainstream Christians under their control. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing with the Branch Davidians, I mean, they literally burned a bunch of children to death. I mean, women and children were burned to death in this compound. It's hard to imagine. And a lot of those people who were responsible for that are still walking around free. They're working at the highest levels of government still, and nobody really has been held accountable. It's truly amazing. You mentioned the infiltration of churches by the Soviet state. Do you see any of that happening in America? I mean, do you see the government trying to influence Christianity, trying to spy on or even manipulate? Give us some examples if you know of any.
Oh, I know of plenty, and going back over 100 years. So the literal communist infiltration of America's mainline Christian churches began a century ago. It appears to have been funded by the likes of the Rockefeller Foundation. And there were avowed communists, a number of avowed communists that were sent into the seminaries and that would then assume leadership over the seminaries. And this is particularly with the National Council of Churches. And if you look up which denominations belong to the National Council of Churches, it's again, roughly half of mainline Christians in America. And there was a great proliferation there's different levels of communist infiltration. So, and I like to look at it like a pyramid. And at the very top, you have the money bags, puppet masters, those who are funding this. Again, Rockefeller Foundation, plenty of evidence for that. The second level down is avowed communists. And we have several examples of that as well. Again, in Christendom, going back, you know, to the 20s, 30s, 40s, and then beyond. By the 50s, by the 1950s, the infiltration of about half of the mainline Christian churches was very, very deeply rooted. And then in more recent years, I was very shocked to watch Trevor Loudon's documentary about the infiltration of evangelicals in like the past decade. Very shocking and horrifying to me. And after you have the avowed communists, the next level down is fellow travelers. They're not communists, but they're more socialists. But they do most of the heavy lifting for subverting the populace to communist-friendly ideas and viewpoints. And within America's churches, the viewpoints that we have proliferating by these communists is a demythologization of Christianity. No, Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin mother. No, the Bible isn't literal. It's just figurative. And to getting away from focusing on helping people have that relationship with God and salvation from sin, to going into a social gospel and social justice to replace it. And it's very, very crafty.
Yeah, it truly is alarming. And that movie, we've had Trevor Loudon on to talk about the movie and some of the other people involved with the film. It's so obvious at this point that so many of the denominations and the churches have been infiltrated by people who actually don't even believe the fundamental tenets of Christianity. So when we get back, folks, we're going to continue talking to Julie. We're going to talk about how Christians survived these persecution and tactics by the Soviets. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I wanted to ask you about how Christians dealing with this in the Soviet Union survived. You mentioned that, you know, at first there was general persecution. They were just going after Christians generally. And that wasn't working from the Soviet perspective. And so they started focusing on more narrow sects of Christians and groups, you know, claiming the Bible. But talk to us about how Christians responded to these things. How did they survive? How did they thrive even under these circumstances?
Well, first of all, studying the lives of these people for 2 years when I was working on my thesis was heart-wrenching. And the things that people went through and were willing to go through for their faith is very inspiring. First of all, they were willing to sacrifice, and they were willing to be arrested. They were willing to be thrown in the gulag. They were willing to have their families split up. They were willing to be second-class citizens, because in the Soviet Union, to be a Christian, particularly one of these more radical Christians that, you know, you wanted to actually teach your children about God and baptize them. They had a lower class in their society than murderers and rapists. They were really the scum of the earth in the Soviet Union. They had large families. And in the Soviet Union, abortion was very, very common, and it was the only form of birth control. So most families, most women had many abortions through their lives. And, but the, you know, these Christians didn't. So they would have 8 kids, 10 kids, abjectly poor, very much on the fringes of society. And they were hated because they were part of Christian movements that were not Russian in origin. And the Russian culture was very biased against them. The word for sect in Russian has the connotation of cult. So they were crazy cultists that no one liked. They were very easy targets for the Soviet government. But being willing to sacrifice and suffer, they had underground printing presses in many cases. First of all, they would copy religious texts by hand, and people would spend hours copying, you know, parts of the Bible or various other tracts and hymnals. They would have underground printing presses. They would hold meetings in secret in the woods and people's homes. They would do them late at night. The most significant of all the tactics, and some of them engaged in acts of protest. And I have to say, the ones that engaged in acts of protest very much sacrificed themselves, and it did not lead to their personal success. But overall, I do believe it led to the success of the Christian cause. So there were people that they're basically essentially martyrs that were willing to be those people who stood up to the state in a very big way with demonstrations and various other things. There was actually a group of Pentecostals who stormed the American embassy and seeking asylum, stormed the embassy in Moscow, and they were not granted asylum. They spent 5 years camping out in a small basement room in the American embassy in Moscow. And finally, they engaged in some fasting and for lengthy periods to try to get the American government to allow them to immigrate. And eventually they were allowed to come to the States. The most interesting tactic, it's not so much a tactic as a feature that I discovered that was most associated with success of these underground Christians, was a decentralized leadership. The more that a church was very centralized with high up leadership, top down approach, the more that when those churches could be infiltrated and then controlled or broken up. The Pentecostals were actually the most successful of the churches, and they had a very different approach where they did have leaders, but they taught their members that they had what they called the priesthood of the believer, and they were taught that whatever you felt called to do, you go do that. So they could decapitate, they could take a leader out, but the people were all taught that they just, and then someone else would just pop right into place. So it was very difficult to shut down a movement when all of the people were empowered that they were connected with God to discover what their particular role was. And I feel like that is, for me, the biggest takeaway for application to America.
Fascinating. And as the climate in America gets more and more repressive, there's probably some useful lessons there for the future. Julie, I want to ask you about K through 12 education. I know you talk about this pretty extensively in your book. It's an area, obviously, that I've focused on a lot. What do you see in terms of education? And are there parallels here also with what the Soviet government was doing?
Wow. Yeah. Definitely huge parallels, but, you know, also some big differences. For instance, when communism took over in Russia, they had just the peasants, which was like over 80% of the population. They had just been freed from serfdom just a few decades before. They were mostly illiterate. The society was not industrialized. There was not a broad public education. And so from the very get-go, as public education was developed in the Soviet Union, of course, the communists had their hands in it. So completely different from that. America, we already had a lot of the population educated, but what we had is we had some of these Gilded Age robber baron, Rockefeller Carnegies, who used their vast amounts of money. They were investing more in public education in America than the government was back in those early decades. And they absolutely had nefarious goals. I'm preaching to the choir here. But we had these Gilded Age robber barons getting control of the government and putting in power either avowed communists or socialist people who had been trained in Prussia and trained that education is not about bringing out the best in the individual, but training up people as to be cogs in the system. Then we have the dumbing down aspects of what has happened in education, where they took phonics out of the reading in many places. Really messed up a lot of people in the process. And then we fast forward now to the last decade plus, where we have the neo-Marxist critical theories being heavily injected in the schools. And we're kind of at an end stage of that now. It's absolutely shocking and frightening to watch. I have myself an 8-year-old son. And so, but you know, we have the critical race theory, queer theory, gender theories, and the hypersexualization of children in the schools with this comprehensive sexuality education, all designed to destabilize, turn our children into essentially communist revolutionaries who want to overthrow the systems of power of America. And, you know, that's what communists do. They love to get the youth all riled up.
Yeah. Terrifying. We've only got a couple of minutes left, Julie. I want to ask for your thoughts on, you know, what should parents be doing? What should decent Americans be doing? What should Christians be doing in response to all this? And of course, how do we get your book?
Well, my book's available at Amazon and also my website. You can get the first few chapters for free, beneathsheepsclothing.com. What should parents do? I have a whole final chapter of my book dedicated to solutions. Number one, we need to learn what's going on. We need to see these agendas. And when you see the problem with our education is we have not been taught about what communism is and what it does in America. We don't have this knee-jerk reaction like we do to Nazism, but we need to know what communism does, that the fruits of communism are death, impoverishment, and enslavement. And the first part of my book goes into that Soviet story, and you get a real feel for communism and seeing those same tactics here. It's very shocking, but get educated. Number two, take this information to your pastors in the churches and to your school boards and your state school boards. And if you cannot get them to remove the Marxist elements from your church and your schools, you need to withdraw from those institutions.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think at this point, it's time for Christians to start getting involved and removing themselves from institutions that are too corrupt to be salvaged. Julie, your website, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, your book, again, is called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR, Parallels in Today's America. Any final words of wisdom?
No, I really appreciate you having me on. And, you know, some of your articles and books that you helped co-author were very much part of of my research, and I really appreciate all the groundbreaking work that you've done.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. We appreciate what you're doing now, and thank you very much for sounding the alarm. All right, folks, Julie Beeling, again, Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Check it out. Also, get involved, folks. This is serious. I mean, these parallels are not incidental. There's a method to the madness here, and all of this is moving in one direction. It's time to start paying attention, and it's time to start doing something. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, God bless you all.